Are you thinking of upgrading your personal realtor website? Well, today we have a conversation with one of the top website designers in the industry. And he's going to tell you exactly what you should think about if you decide to upgrade. Stay tuned. This episode of Keeping It Real is brought to you by Real Geeks. How many homes are you going to sell this year? Do you have the right tools? Is your website turning soft leads into interested buyers? Are you spending money on leads that aren't converting? Well, Real Geeks is your solution. Find out why agents across the country choose Real Geeks as their technology partner. Real Geeks was created by an agent for agents. They pride themselves on delivering a sales and marketing solution so that you can easily generate more business. Their agent websites are fast and built for lead conversion with a smooth search experience for your visitors. Real Geeks also includes an easy-to-use agent CRM. So once a lead signs up on your website, you can track their interest and have great follow-up conversations. Real Geeks is loaded with a ton of marketing tools to nurture your leads and increase brand awareness. Visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod and find out why realtors come to Real Geeks to generate more business. Again, visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod. And now, on to our show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the largest podcast made by real estate agents and for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your guide and host through the show. And in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with Malte Kramer, who is the CEO and founder of Luxury Presence. They make realtor websites. So it's going to be a really interesting one because we're going to talk all about what a realtor website should have and shouldn't have, and maybe what you should consider for your own site. Before we get to Malte, please tell a friend about the show. That's the best way you can help us. Think of another realtor that could benefit from this great conversation we're about to have or any of the other conversations we have in previous episodes. Send a link over to another realtor. That would really help us. And also, please leave us a review, especially if you're listening on iTunes or really anywhere that you're finding our podcast. Let us know what you think of the show. We appreciate it and are so grateful for everyone listening right this very second. It's been 5 or 6 years. We've done 500 episodes, over 3 million downloads, all because of you guys. Really, it's all because of you. So I'm so grateful. We're getting towards the end of 2023, and I just wanted to say thanks in case I forget to do it in a future episode. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep listening. We'll keep making episodes. And enough from me. Let's get to the main event, my conversation with Malte Kramer. Okay, today our guest on the show is Malte Kramer, and I want to tell you more about Malte. Now, Malte Kramer is the CEO of Luxury Presence, which is the leading real estate marketing platform and one of the fastest growing prop tech companies in the United States. Since founding the business in 2016, he's grown it to over $100 million in revenue with a global team of 600 employees and a client list of nearly 10,000 real estate professionals. To date, Luxury Presence has raised $50 million from notable investors, including top VC firm Bessemer Venture Partners, Zillow co-founder Spencer Radkoff, real estate coach Tom Ferry, NBA champion Dirk Nowitzki, and NFL pro Larry Fitzgerald. Now, originally from Germany, Malte moved to the United States on a basketball scholarship to Pepperdine University. And after graduating as valedictorian, he began his entrepreneurial journey by launching a fundraising app called Giver and went on to receive an MBA from Stanford. Malte was named a Housing Wire Rising Star in 2021, Rising Entrepreneur of the Year in 2022 by .LA, and a Housing Wire Tech Trendsetter in 2023. He's a dedicated rescue dog dad, the author of Play for Something, which is a North Star for student athletes, and a finisher of a half Ironman. Malte, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, DJ.
I forgot to give you the most important thing, a plug. Everybody go visit Malty on his website, which is luxurypresence.com. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. And I'd like you to follow Luxury Presence on LinkedIn as well as Instagram. Just search for Luxury Presence and subscribe. Again, LinkedIn and Instagram. We will have links to that as well in the show notes. I am very excited to chat with you because before we get into what your company offers, I very rarely have I been impressed with real estate agent websites. And I know you do more than that, but specifically that, I think you guys probably do it better than just about anyone. So I'm excited to get to that. And I've also noticed over the years being on this show, we interview top 1% agents, and more than any other website design firm, Luxury Presence shows up over and over and over again. So I figured it's probably time to talk to the man who made it all happen. And I'm curious to sort of get your thoughts on why your brand has attracted so much top talent in the real estate game. And I know that you aren't just for top tier brokers. You can handle, and I'm sorry, in Illinois, we call everyone a broker. So realtors, yeah. I'll say, but you work with individual realtors of any production level. But let's first start with you. So tell us, you know, we understand you're a guy from Germany. You came over, did your undergrad. By the way, undergrad in Malibu, right? Is that where Pepperdine is?
That's right. Yeah,
that's a tough. That is a tough place to beat. It's like tough right luck. On the beach. It's almost right on the beach, even if I remember correctly.
Very little studying gets done out there. Great school.
Yeah, and then off to Stanford. So tell us a little bit about your journey. You know, why real estate? Because it doesn't appear that was really in your background.
Yeah, you're right. I fell into real estate. I was an entrepreneur out of undergrad. So I had two previous companies in different industries. One was a nonprofit fundraising app. And in 2015, a real estate agent out here in Beverly Hills, who was a friend, asked me to do some consulting work for her. And I was very curious about the industry. And she still is one of the most successful agents in the world. Her name is Jade Mills. She sold over $7 billion in her career, sells some of the most expensive homes, has sold the Playboy Mansion and Chartwell Estate and all of these very famous, you know, $100+ million homes. And naturally, I wanted to see what does the inside of her business look like? How does she market herself? And so I spent several months working with her, and I told her, I will do all of this work, set up your digital marketing, which was my background, if you let me be a fly on the wall. I want to come to listing appointments. I want to see how you run your team. And so that's how I got started and how I fell in love with the industry. And it, for me, it's always been about helping other people scale. It's something that I really enjoy. I've been an entrepreneur all my life. It's what has opened doors for me here in the US. I grew up in Germany, so I've been able to build my life and my business here and find my fiance here. And all of it goes back to the ability to start a business. And so it's something that I'm passionate about. And I've just found real estate agents, ultimately, they are all entrepreneurs at heart. And I love the idea of being part of their growth and helping them scale.
How did you start to put together an offering that would be unique from other tech firms that are offering website development solutions for realtors? And what was the hole that you saw in the industry that you thought you could fill?
Yeah, we wanted to bring together the performance side and the design side, and especially in the luxury market, the very high end aesthetic that agents were looking for. Most of the agents I talked to, they said one of two things. They either said, I have a website and it looks great, but I'm not getting any leads and I'm not really using it for any advertising. Or they said, I have a website, it's a lead gen site, I am getting some leads from it, but I'm embarrassed to put it on my business card, I'm embarrassed to put it on my flyers. And it never made sense to me why you had to pick one or the other. And so our goal in the very beginning was to come out with a website product that worked for the very high-end agents like Jade Mills, who cared about aesthetics, but also were built on a platform and had the tools and had the services to provide the performance marketing, the lead gen that agents were looking for, and that they really needed to grow. So that was the starting point. And then since then, we've obviously built a lot more, and It is a full end-to-end marketing platform now.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I want to start first to dispel a few myths around website creation, and then we can get into some of the other ancillary stuff that you do that not just front-end website design. But there's a lot of misconception even still with why a realtor should have their own website. Is it just a online business card? Should it have a home search feature with IDX data feed so that they, you know, visitors can search for properties? There's a lot of debate on this topic. And I'm curious of how, and you talked about this, is we want something that looks beautiful, but also performs. I would love to talk about all of this conversion. Mm-hmm. What's the intention as you guys think about websites? Is it more look at how pretty I am? And is it also, I want to push you through some sort of funnel so that, you know, you're being marketed to? But I'd love to hear just, you know, overall how you think about websites.
Yeah. There are two goals for any website. And the first is to establish credibility. It's about branding, establishing trust. And you can use your website just as a digital business card and still serve that first goal. So credibility is number one. And then two is lead generation. And not everyone uses their website as a lead generation tool. Not everyone chooses to run digital ads or do SEO or do social in a way that drives traffic to their website. But that first goal, everyone has and everyone should have. In my mind, you know, just think about what you do when someone tells you about a product or service they like, right? You take out your phone, you Google it, and you go to the website and you do your research. And it's no different with any business we learn about. So even if you're not running any advertising, chances are, any repeat referral business or word of mouth, those people are going to look you up. And so not having a website, in my opinion, means you're missing out on business almost certainly, right? If someone Googles your name and nothing shows up, right, you don't have credibility. So that's part one. And then on the lead gen side, there's a lot that goes into it. Obviously, you know, conversion rate of the website matters a lot. You really should build dedicated landing pages, in my opinion, if you're using them for specific ad campaigns, and not just drive traffic to a general homepage, which
right,
we both know is never going to convert at the same level as sure, a dedicated landing page. But yeah, those are the two high level goals that we start with. And then based on our client's preference, we built the site accordingly.
One of the myths I want to dispel is the idea of putting up a website and not understanding what SEO is and how important it is to actually drive traffic if you're looking for organic traffic, meaning, you know, putting up a website and just hoping that people find it. I think most of our audience would know that isn't the way the world works these days, and hasn't for quite some time. But it's really important for people to remember that SEO is a difficult beast to really work with. You're dealing with hundreds of factors that Google takes into account in order to determine when somebody does a search what rank your particular website will be for that particular keyword or key phrase. And you're not only competing against all the other realtors potentially in your area, you're also competing against the brokerages themselves, online lead gen companies like Zillow, Redfin. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of competition for what we would call short tail keywords, which would be something like, I live in Chicago, so Chicago realtor. If I were to try to rank for that, it would be very difficult. It would be a long multi-year process. It's possible, but it would be incredibly difficult. But there are long tail keywords that people can have success with. So for example, in Chicago, maybe Chicago realtor is too difficult to break into on Google, but maybe Wicker Park realtor for condos, you know, which is a long tail keyword, meaning many, many words in that phrase. That is something that possibly you could work towards. Can you just talk just for a moment on SEO, just so that when people are thinking about websites, they're not necessarily getting the wrong impression. I'm going to put this website up and people are just going to find it.
Yeah. This is a very common misconception and a mistake agents make is they launch the website and then they think magically leads are going to appear. And the reality is you have to drive traffic there somewhere. So at a high level, there are three ways you can do it in a scalable way. One is on social media organically, which requires a lot of content. and we can get into that later. Two is on Google organically, which is SEO. And then three is paid advertising, which we can talk about later as well, which is the most reliable, fastest way, but also probably the most expensive. So let's hone in on the second one, SEO. There's a lot that goes into it. Google's algorithm has hundreds, if not thousands, of ranking factors that we know they take into account when they decide what are the 10 results they're going to show on the first page for any given search. And as you noted, long tail keywords, the more specific and the smaller the search volume, typically the lower the competition, the easier it is to rank. And that's usually what we recommend people start with, is create a blog, put blog posts on there that answer very specific questions that someone in your market may have. So something like, what are the property taxes in Silver Lake? Could be a great blog post that someone might look for. Now, this keyword perhaps is only getting 10 searches a month, 50 searches a month, something very low. But if you do that with enough articles and you rank for enough of these keywords, you can drive significant search volume over time. The great thing about SEO is it compounds, right? You write the article once, and then once it ranks, it generates traffic every single month. And you don't have to spend any additional money on acquiring that traffic. So it is a very effective, high ROI long-term strategy, in my opinion.
I just wanted to make one quick point about that particular strategy. So what we have to think about, and I think this will be helpful for anyone who has a website and is looking to rank organically for some of these longer tail keywords, like Malty was saying, property taxes in Silver Lake. What you really have to focus on with respect to the blog post is, and this would be my recommendation, do that keyword search, do it in an incognito browser so you get a true search result versus doing it in your, just do the search, look for the top three or four results, see what kind of content those search results have published, and then you have to beat that. You have to do better than those top three searches. So you're going to want to put some video in there. You're going to want to put longer form content. The days of short form text content are over. People want long form. Yep. So this is the way. If you really want to go down this path, you have to beat everyone out, because Google's objective is to serve up the best possible content for that particular search. And if yours isn't the best possible content, well, Google can tell pretty quickly, because people will bounce off of your site more quickly than maybe other sites. And they're going to go, well, we don't want people to bounce off our site and have to do another search. We want them to go to the one that they think has the best. And they were just going to look at consumer behavior. So they're going to look at what happens when someone visits your website. And then they're going to determine, hey, this is a pretty good or not so good answer to this question that somebody put in the search. Let's talk about the other two ways of generating traffic, because I think this is the more predictable path, and certainly the less arduous task, which would be paid advertising and social media, organic social media. Let's start with those.
Yeah. Let's talk about paid ads next. So. Paid advertising, both on social and search, for obvious reasons, that's the most reliable way to get traffic to your site. You're paying per click. And the way I recommend you approach it is by thinking about what type of offer you can make that will get someone to give you their contact information. And usually that is a lead magnet or a type of offer that provides a lot of value. This could be a market report, this could be a home valuation, this could be access to curated set of listings. If you have access to off-market listings, this could be the promise of getting access to those. So think about what is the thing that someone who's searching on Google or someone who's browsing social media, who could be a good client, will likely want and see value in. And when you start with that offer, then the rest of the ad and the landing page becomes pretty clear. Usually you would target a keyword around that offer. So let's take home valuations, for example. You could target free home valuation or home valuation in Silver Lake on Google. Someone clicks on the ad, gets to a landing page. Again, you want to mirror what you're targeting on the landing page, so it should speak to that particular keyword search. And then you have on that landing page a form where someone can put in their contact information. Obviously, the more fields you ask, the lower your conversion rate is going to be. If you just ask an email, you'll probably get a lot of leads, but you don't know a lot about them. If you ask a phone number, conversion rate will be lower, but generally the quality of the leads will be higher. And from there, the last and maybe most important step is these are leads that have to be nurtured. These are internet leads that are going to be on Google. Intent will be a bit higher than on social media in general, because people are searching proactively for something within real estate, whereas on social media, you're interrupting their experience by showing them an ad, so they may not be in the market at all. And so generally, quality will be a little bit lower and they'll require more nurturing. And that nurturing should take place over weeks and months. Speed to lead matters, and then you want to have a nurture sequence, ideally automated, and some type of email marketing going out. Again, with the goal of providing as much value as possible. The goal is not to aggressively sell these people. The goal is to give them so much value that they trust you. And when they're ready to transact, you're the agent or the brand that they call. So that's the approach that we take to paid advertising at a high level.
We're talking about email drip campaigns, possible text campaigns, depending on what contact information you're getting. Also, if you're getting a phone number, the speed to lead is so critical. And again, these are a little different than a Zillow lead. So Zillow people have already raised their hand. They've already clicked on a particular property and said, I want to go see that. So it's already as hot of a lead as you could probably get, it being that they already want to take action. Whereas you're right, with paid advertising, yes, they're searching for something that you hope is you know, a call to action. But you're right, there may be a delay in the actual step to purchase or sell a property. So that the idea of how do you recommend nurturing? What do you guys, what have you found with your clients works sort of the best for ROI? Is it a series of emails? Is it a combination of email, video, text? What are you guys finding as far as trends that seem to convert most effectively?
Yeah, it's a combination of all three, ideally. And I would base the exact sequence on where the lead came from and where they are in the funnel. So if we're talking high funnel, top of funnel, meaning someone on social media who downloaded a market report, you don't really know if they're ready to even talk to you. So a phone call may not resonate well. Those, we would have a sequence that's a little bit lighter touch. I would recommend something that's mostly email based, and you're going to start sending them your newsletter. They're going to need more warming up. Now, if you get someone who requested a home valuation, chances are on Google, chances are intent's a lot higher. They're a lot more ready. Definitely call and text them. And a lot of touch points, probably 9 touch points over the course of 2 weeks is appropriate. One of the really exciting things that is happening now, thanks to AI, is so much of this can be automated and still feel very personalized. We are about to broadly release. We've been in beta for our AI texting tool. And so leads that are coming in from your website, this tool can engage them. And if you read through the conversations, you are not able to tell that you're not talking to a human being. I mean, it's uncanny how well it corresponds. And it then sets up an appointment, and we're seeing about 15% lead to appointment conversion rates, which is very high, obviously, for internet leads. And this is just text-based, text conversation.
And just to sort of put that in perspective, a 15% lead to appointment ratio would be about, well, I think it's 3 times or 5. Well, anyway, what I was going to say is I know for Zillow and Opcity and leads of that nature, which are internet leads, already raise their hand, I want to go see this. If you can convert 5% of those leads, which, by the way, are pay-to-play leads, either you're paying on the front end or with Opcity, you're paying on the back end, but you're buying the lead from those tech companies. And if you can close 5%, you're a superstar. So the idea of getting a 15% conversion is incredible.
And to be clear, this is 15% from lead to meeting request. So there's the additional step you have to
of actually closing.
It may end up being, if you close, then 30% of them, that would get you to a 5% close rate, which I agree would be extremely high. On average, I think industry average is something like 2%, if that. Yeah. So, these AI tools are making it a lot easier. So you're not the one anymore who has to do the texting and the calling yourself. You can outsource that to an AI assistant, which is really exciting.
Are you guys, I am the most excited for AI around, I'd love to talk about AI. I'm most excited personally outside of real estate for this idea of having an assistant for me, where I'm able to converse with this assistant, make sure that they know what I need on a daily basis, whether it's scheduling, reminding me about X, Y, and Z, go pick up the groceries, go, you know, whatever it may be, that's coming. And we're seeing the most earliest versions of that in some of these website AI systems, whether it's customer service. We're seeing this now. It used to be a lot poorer in years past, where you would go onto a website, you'd start a chat, you'd clearly, they would just lie and say it was somebody that wasn't a real person. You could tell pretty quickly because the conversation wasn't all that authentic and organic. But now AI is getting a lot better, and we're seeing you're actually able to have a meaningful interaction with an AI chatbot, because the technology is just it just keeps evolving. Are you guys adding that in as a feature, as a, like a customer service chatbot, I'm assuming, to your front end websites?
We are, yes. So on the consumer facing side, there are a lot of these tools popping up now, and more companies doing this, where the AI will communicate with the consumer on your behalf. And obviously your website chat is a great medium for it. Text after a contact inquiry comes in is a great medium for it. So that's one part. And then the second part, which you also touched on, I'm even more excited about, is an AI assistant for the agent. So something that plugs into your systems and then gives you a ideally voice-based interface to interact with the AI assistant in the same way you would interact with a human assistant, and just give it tasks and ask it to provide information. This is coming. We're working on something. We announced in August Presence Copilot, which is our AI-powered mobile platform. So this is exactly what we're working on, is giving agents their own 24/7 AI assistant who can take all the admin work, all of the stuff that you hate doing, and take that off your plate.
Yeah, to me, that's the most exciting part for me, is the idea of having some sort of assistant that, and companies are working on this. You guys are working on this. I think, this is so exciting for agents. You know, maybe not as exciting for virtual assistants who are working overseas right now for a lot of realtors. But it is going to be really helpful, and companies like yours are going to start offering this product soon. So very excited to see that offering in the future. Let's talk about the platform of the actual website platform. So there's the front end, which is the customer facing website where they can learn about the agent, possibly search for properties, get a sense of the realtor's skill set, their aesthetic, all of those things. I will say before I ask about other parts, because Luxury Presence, I believe, has some of the prettiest and most aesthetically pleasing website design on that I've seen in real estate. Were you surprised when you first got into this business that there wasn't a lot of beautiful realtor website designs out there? Because I just can't find them other than what you guys have.
I was, and there's so much great content to work with, especially in the luxury segment. That was always something that I was really passionate about, is great design. And we, from the very beginning, we've invested in a strong design team. We brought over a design leader from Airbnb, and she's built an amazing design team. So it's been part of the company's DNA from day one. I always felt there was a missed opportunity for a lot of agents. If you have this much great photography and videography, and you're selling such great product, why not build a website that matches that beautiful aesthetic?
Well, let's talk about conversion. What's under the hood? So we know it's going to face the, client facing. You can go to luxurypresence.com. You can see some of the biggest names in real estate use Luxury Presence. I'd love to know what's behind the hood, what we can't necessarily see ourselves. You know, what's going on behind the scenes outside of just this beautiful looking website?
Yeah, so the whole platform we've built from the ground up, specifically for residential real estate agents, teams, and brokerages. So the entire CMS, the entire back end of the websites, everything is specific to real estate. So when you go into the back end, first thing you'll notice is that the CMS is super easy to use. All the input fields are related to the type of content you want to show on your website. We have modules for your neighborhoods. We have pre-built landing pages. We have an instant home valuation tool that you can use for lead gen. We obviously have our IDX home search tool. We're expanding that into full collaborative search now with Presence Copilot, which works sort of seamlessly across desktop and mobile, where you can take the leads that are coming in from the website and then start sharing listings with them via a mobile app. So it's all integrated into one place. And then obviously you have modules for your listings. So they're coming in from the MLS, and then you can showcase them on your website. You can create standalone property websites. So with a very intuitive website builder, you can go in, you can launch single property sites. And then you have modules for your leads, for all the things we've talked about. We have a lead intelligence feature. So we pull in third-party data to tell you more about the leads that are coming in from the website. It's quite spooky, actually. You go into a lead and suddenly you see past addresses they've lived in and their social media links and their family names. And so it's very easy to gauge, is this a real person or spam? And are they in my price range? Are they a good fit customer? Should I be spending my time on them? So yeah, there's a lot there, and all of it is real estate specific. And we've built this in very close partnership with a lot of our clients, many of which, as you noted, are at the top of the game. And we take what they've learned, what they found works, and we try to distill that into the product.
Yeah, you know, in particular, this consumer behavior sort of database is retailers use this all the time to be able to predict when somebody is pregnant, for example. And it's not because they're necessarily buying a pregnancy test. There's other signals that retailers have access to just with all this buying data that would actually tell somebody before they might even know that they're pregnant, that there may be something going on with them and being pregnant. So there is some incredible ways of sort of taking data and running it through different systems, like you were saying, partners of yours, who then can really provide incredible information. Here's their social. Here's what we know about their family. Here's what we know about them based on the email address they provided and their name. And it really just gives the agent more information to be able to have that conversation when they do reach out. And it gives them more than just an email and phone number and first name. So I'm a huge fan. Tell us a little bit about sort of the CRM functionality, or the, now that the lead's in the system. So someone visits the website, there's some call to action, they sign up, and then it goes into some sort of nurturing capacity. Talk a little bit, if you don't mind, talk a little bit about sort of what that looks like for the agent, how the agent sort of sees that lead come in and what they do with it from there.
Yeah. So we are not a CRM, and we offer some what I would call lightweight CRM functionalities to manage your leads, to now with Presence Copilot, do collaborative search, to invite a client, to have them on a list and tagged. You know, so there are some CRM functionalities, but for teams in particular that are looking for a more robust and full-fledged CRM, we recommend that they use any of our integration partners. So we have native integrations with all the major CRMs, and generally recommend using us in conjunction with a CRM.
Yeah, that makes sense, because that's a whole other sort of vertical to try to a mountain to climb, and you're competing against massive companies that have, you know, 15 years on you maybe of experience. So I agree, that would be a tougher mountain. So the good news is they do integrate with all the major players out there, because of course they need to. So the good news is it's really, really easy, and it's a pretty seamless integration. I'd love to talk about website design trends, because this is something that is always evolving and changing. I remember 10 years ago or so, there was a move to go to what's called flat design, or minimal and flat design. And I'm curious on where do we think websites are headed? Because ways in which consumers are interacting online is changing. So I'm curious if you have any future trends that you think are emerging.
Yeah. In terms of the aesthetic, I would say one trend we've noticed is back to real simplicity And I think a recognition that what matters most at the end of the day is usability. And we have to start with usability and then craft the aesthetic rather than the aesthetic getting in the way. So there's a trend towards simplicity. I would say, given what's possible now, we're seeing more sort of more immersive experiences and interactive experiences. 5 years ago, had you asked me, I would not have recommended having video play in the background on mobile. Now this is
right.
Very much possible because of where internet speeds is and where technology is. So, more interactive experiences, more use of video throughout the site, and I'd say an overall trend back to simplicity.
What about light versus dark as far as just color? I know you guys tend to skew dark, which I think is particularly interesting around real estate. That is a more modern trend, although now white is real popular inside of homes, although that'll probably be changing in 10 years anyway. But I'm curious on just color. What colors, and I love the fact that you guys skew darker, or at least the mm-hmm. a lot of the websites I've seen skew darker, because that also was not really that popular in realtor websites until you guys came along.
Yeah. So the preference between dark and light, I would say, really comes down to the emotion someone wants to evoke. And I have seen some agents that really want the light and airy feel that you can get with a lighter color palette, and especially in markets that are perhaps more something like Miami, where you would want to sort of present that type of feeling. I've seen light color palettes work really well. But overall, yeah, I think especially in the high-end market, agents still love the dark and moody look. And the one thing I would say is just regardless of the color palette, just to make sure that everything is very legible. Sometimes I see people use very small fonts because it's, it looks sexy to minimize the fonts. But again, like, focus on the usability first, making sure it's readable. And easy to navigate. So, not letting the creativity get in the way of the usability. And then I do think it's valuable to have accent colors beyond black and white, even if it's sparingly used for things like your CTA buttons. If you're just working in a very
light color palette, CTA is call to action.
Call to action. Yeah. You want to be able to draw attention to specific buttons on the site or specific links, especially if you're using it as a landing page. You're not going to get the landing page to perform as well if you don't have any color on it and it's just black and white. So some color as an accent is always a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing that I'll just sort of share, this is how you know if you visited a luxury presence website for an agent. I was so impressed. You guys were the first company that I found that did this, and now I'm sure they are all doing it, probably copying what you guys came, or I don't know if you necessarily pioneered it, but really were the biggest firm to bring it to market that I found, was that when a consumer visits the Luxury Presence website, one thing happens. In fact, I have seen this, a lot of brokerages now have this as well, whereas the login, Google login will instantly show up, especially if you're on a Chrome browser. So what happens is person visits website, they instantly get, hey, please log in. Well, they probably haven't logged in before if they're a new person. They click on that. It instantly creates a connection between their Google account, if they're logged into Google, which they are most likely. And then it instantly creates an account inside of the backend system for Luxury Presence so that the agent gets to capture that information instantly. It's a one-click thing. It is very, very, very cool. And I hopefully I'm not sharing too much of your secrets, because it's not really a secret, but I love the fact that you guys really put a lot of faith into that process, and it works. I can't tell you how many websites outside of real estate I have clicked on that exact same Google thing before I've even done anything on that website. I just go, okay, whatever, I'll click on it. It's amazing. I'm curious to know how that came to be and how successful that is for you guys.
It's been incredibly successful. It's the one thing, if you don't do anything else and you want to get more leads from your website,
that's
the one thing you should add is the one-click Google login. It came about, we have a team that's just constantly focused on innovation around conversion and how can we drive more leads to our clients from their websites. And out of their research and them testing things, we get these ideas like this one-click Google login tool. I'll give you one other great one. This would probably be number two on my list, which is an exit intent form.
I was just about to ask. Okay, so here's what exit intent is, everyone. As the person starts to move their mouse closer to the X for that particular tab or even the browser, the website can notice through like JavaScript or whatever, some sort of script that will notice the mouse movement, will notice its person is moving in that direction, and they will put up an interstitial or what we would call like a faux pop-up, a little pop-up saying, hey, before you leave, or that's what they used to do. I don't know what they show now, but a little bit of a like a call to action just before the person is like walking out the door. If it was a retail shop, one more thing, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It works extremely well as well.
What do you recommend putting? I have a thought. I'm going to get your take on it. So if you are going to add an exit intent, which is what we're talking about, somebody wanting to exit out of the website and getting a final offer. Now, if it's retail, if you're selling a product, maybe you'd put, oh, 10% off if you know before you leave, that kind of coupon. Obviously, realtors don't have necessarily that, but it could be a white paper, could mm-hmm. be a free home. Hey, before you leave, let me find out, or let me tell you what I think your home's currently worth. Something like yep. that. Is that what you're seeing works best?
Yeah, this goes back to the previous point around offers. Whenever you interrupt someone's experience, I recommend make sure that you're giving them a lot of value. Otherwise, they'll be angry, right? You're sort of there trying to leave your website and you're telling them, no, hold up a second. Yeah. And that's not the time to make an ask. It's the time to give a lot of value. And the way you give value is through an offer, like what you just mentioned. Something that works really well is if you have access to off-market listings. That's often something has really high perceived value. So, you know, sign up here to get access.
That's a good one. Off-market listings. That's a great one. The other thing I was thinking of with respect to sort of website trends and design is less is more with respect to text, because at least on a homepage, we certainly mm-hmm. want information there that does talk about what the agent does, who they are, and you know, but the more information we provide is in a text form, I think we start losing people as we get again, it all depends. Well, let me back up. It really depends on the intent of the actual consumer. So what I recommend, and by the way, anyone who has a website can find a service that'll do this, is install what's called a heat map mm-hmm. system, which will just basically track the clicks, the mouse movement on somebody's website, and you will start to get a better sense of what your consumers like about your site and what they don't like. If you're getting a high bounce rate, if you're looking at your Google Analytics and you know the average bounce rate's 13 seconds, well, okay, why are they leaving after 13 seconds? What am I not providing? And the heat map will tell you what's most interesting to people on your website, and it'll give you at least a general idea of maybe the direction to go. I imagine you guys use heat mapping all the mm-hmm. time to constantly reframe. How often are you reforming your designs to match the sort of consumer behavior that's always changing?
Yeah, we're constantly adding to the library of elements, and often we'll find something that we think everyone should have and we turn it on for everyone if we believe that it's a best practice. So the Google one-click login, for example, people can opt out of it, but we've established it as a best practice that comes standard with all of our templates or all of our themes. And then in our library, I think at this point we have over 500 different elements, meaning widgets that you can use on the website. Obviously, our websites are always very customized, so every agent has different preferences, different elements they use. But there are some best practices that our team develops that we then roll out for everyone. And this is, I would say, at least on a monthly basis, we come out with something new.
And with respect to somebody becomes a client of yours, can they do their own design? Meaning, can they utilize your elements and organize them in the way that they think makes sense? And can they also offload that to you guys as well? Are there different levels of service there?
Yeah, there are. We offer everything from working with our team to use the existing elements to create something that's still customized, but within an existing design framework, all the way up to something fully custom where we're starting from scratch. Our design team can design anything that you have in mind. We don't have a self-service offering where you would build it, be left completely on your own. That said, once we built the first draft of a website, many of our clients, they're in the platform all the time building their own landing pages and using the existing elements. So it is very much possible.
Yeah, I think that is really cool. And I would like to make sure our audience knows how they can learn more about Luxury Presence, because we want, even if you don't choose Luxury Presence as your front-end website sort of design team, and you probably should consider that, but at the very least, you'll get a good education of what good design looks like, so that if Luxury Presence isn't the right fit, you can go maybe find somebody that is a little bit closer to what you need. But what is the best way that an agent can learn? And by the way, when you go to the Luxury Presence website, you will see some big names on there that you know in the real estate world from all different sorts of providers. They're all big fans of Luxury Presence. But what's the best way? Should they go to the website and request a demo, or how does it work?
Yeah, so if you request a demo on the website, you can have a consultation with our team, and they'll be able to walk you through examples of our design. They'll be able to show you case studies of the marketing we've done for our clients, so you can get a sense. If you just want to get a sense of our design work, on the website we have a design portfolio page that you can check out, or if you follow us on Instagram, we post a lot of our work there, and that'll give you a good sense of the design quality.
And I had one final question, and I just, oh my gosh, it's eluding me at the moment. So I will remind everyone to please visit luxurypresence.com. There's a call to action on there where you can put in your information, and they will reach out to you and give you more information about, and in fact, the top producer in Chicago, actually in Illinois, Dawn McKenna, she's a local legend here in Chicago, and she's also in Florida and I think South Carolina and a few other markets. She's a customer, and along with a lot of other very Jade Mills, you mentioned Ryan Serhant, Tom Ferry, etc. There's lots of big names on here. So guys, really, you should check this out, whether it's the right fit for you today or it's something to aspire to, because this is not the lowest cost provider, but that's why it's a luxury brand. Luxury brands have luxury pricing, but the top agents in the country really do use Luxury Presence, and they really don't have much competition, quite honestly. At least there's little shops that in every city that will build people websites, but not people that understand realtor websites quite the same. So I definitely recommend checking that out. And also, please follow them on LinkedIn. They actually, I was talking to Multi before the show, and he said, actually, our LinkedIn is really, really successful for us. So Luxury Presence is where you find them on LinkedIn. Same on Instagram. I will have links to all of this in the show notes. And since I can't remember my final question, I will just ask you, where do you think the real estate market is headed? Because you are affected by high interest rates as well, because even though you're in the luxury space and your audience are top realtors mostly who are doing just fine this year, we have a lot of agents in a down market currently who are struggling. I know that this is a little bit outside of your purview necessarily, but are you hopeful that that interest rates will change in the next year? Do you have any insight you could share about where you see trends coming for what real estate agents might expect, in the next year or so?
Yeah, I am hopeful. Although I think it's gonna get a little bit worse before it gets better.
Yeah,
my best guess is 6 months of things getting worse and then a slow recovery. The numbers I've seen all have a 2+ year recovery to get back to historical averages. And it's not the best news. And obviously it's a tough market right now. But I think it's better to be realistic about how long it's going to take and to buckle down and find a way to be successful in this market environment, because it may last for a while. But yeah, that's my best guess is probably 2 years of recovery.
I think you're probably right. And I did remember my last question. It was about recruiting. So this is a huge opportunity right now. We are seeing a flight to teams in the brokerage world, in the agent world, really, I should say. Agents are either joining teams, creating teams. This is, I mean, Malty's business is pretty much all teams for the most part. A lot of these big producers are teams, not all, but a lot of them are. And these are also great recruiting sort of magnets for agents, because agents are always looking to see what teams might be a good fit, and they're going to look up the website. So even if there's two sort of components, there's the consumer part of it that you want to attract, but it's also, if you're looking to build your team, you really need a beautiful looking website to also attract those other agents. Are you seeing some of your agent clients using them as recruiting tools?
Yeah, it's a great point. And you mentioned Dawn McKenna earlier. She's actually a great case study for this. She launched with us back in 2016. At the time, she had four agents on her team, was doing about 120 million in annual sales. And since then, she has scaled to 20 agents, six markets. She's now in Naples, she's in Salt Lake, all over the place. And if you ask her, she'll say it was the brand she created and it was the website. Those two things have helped her the most. And she gets a lot of her agents through just organically. They see the brand, they see your social, they see the website. So it definitely helps in that regard. And one thing I've seen some teams do is create dedicated recruiting pages on their website that speak to agents who may want to consider joining them.
Yeah, and that goes back to the idea of creating specific landing pages for different people who are visiting the website. Yep. So driving somebody just to the homepage, it gives them a general overview of what that agent is all about or the team is all about, but having a specific dedicated page that you drive somebody to, maybe through either organic work, best real estate team in Silver Lake, for example, or looking to join a real estate team in Silver Lake. Those are long tail keywords that people do search. Now they might not get more than, 10 to 50 searches a month, like Malty was saying earlier, but wouldn't you like to be number one for those 10 to 50 searches? I know I would kill to be number one for those, even if it's just a handful of people a month. So creating those individual landing pages is really, really critical. So please reach out to Luxury Presence. They have all of these tools. And guys, the biggest plug I can give to them is the top agents in the country use it. Almost everybody I've interviewed on this show, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but the vast majority of people I interviewed today on the show use Luxury Presence. So I am not a paid spokesperson for them, but I am literally just telling you what I witnessed. And that's why I had Malty on the show today to talk about sort of what makes them different. And boy, are they different. So check them out, luxurypresence.com. Follow them on Instagram and LinkedIn. Links to all of that in the show notes. And on behalf of our audience, Malty, thank you so much. We know you are a mid-sized company of 600 employees. This is you don't have time to just basically jump on a podcast for an hour every so often. So you did this as a favor. I appreciate that. Thanks from our audience to you. And then of course Malty and I want to thank the audience for sticking around to the very end. Please help us in a couple of ways. One, if you know an agent that's looking to build a website, shoot them over to luxurypresence.com, or maybe they probably already have a website and they want to maybe improve it. Shoot them over to Luxury Presence. And also please tell a friend about this episode. Think of one other realtor that's looking to up their online game in 2024 and send them a link, because this might actually give them some information about how they can improve their web presence. And also, please leave us a review wherever you're listening to this show. Let us know what you think of the show. Leave us a review. Tell us. We read every one of your comments, and it always helps us to improve as well. Malty, thank you so much for being on the show, and we will see everybody on the next episode.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.